Sean, Deion Sanders recently said something about what kind of players he was looking for at the University of Colorado. And he said this about the kind of quarterbacks he wants to bring in.
Now, quarterbacks are different.
Yeah.
We want mother, father, you know, dual parent.
Mm-hmm.
We want that kid to be 3-5 and up because he got to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad decisions off the field at all,
mm-hmm.
because he has to be a leader of men. It's so many different attributes and what we look for when we see a quarterback. And you would love a coach's son.
Okay, what do you think about that?
Wow. The HBCU should be glad to see him hit the door.
Mm. That's pretty controversial right there. So he's saying he's looking for his quarterback. In order for them to be intelligent, they have to have a mother and a father in the house. So this is what kind of players he says he's looking for to be on the defense. Now, keep in mind, he was in a room with a bunch of white guys, white reporters. And this is what he said about his defensive players.
My defensive lineman is totally opposite.
What do you mean?
Single mama. Wow. Trying to get it. He's on free lunch. I mean, like, I'm talking about just trying to make it. He's trying to rescue mama. Like, mama barely made the flight.
Trying to get out the mother.
And I want him to just go get it.
Now, that's some step and fetching stuff right there now.
Yes, it is, VJ. Mm. The HBCUs should be glad to see him hit the door with that type of mentality.
My God.
With his stereotypical...
That's ugly, man.
Assumptions about us.
Yeah.
Like, unreal. Unreal.
So the defensive players are thugs who, you know, a defensive player is supposed to be a savage. That all I want you to do is go out there and just cause havoc. So I need you to come from a single-parent household. So that's what he's saying.
Just disgusting. And I'm glad this came out because this shows us what the bourgeoisie thinks about us.
Mm.
We should know it. When we're on the sidelines and we're in the stadium and we're cheering them on, we're their biggest fans, this is their perception of us. They have low regard for us.
Yeah, that is terrible. You know, you always talk about I love to hate on black women. You know, I hate the way black women are dressing these days. That's one thing I'm not going to stop hating on. I'm tired of seeing everybody's butt out. I'm tired of seeing everybody's breast out. I'm just tired of you taking all these photos with your backside. You know, you looking behind your shoulder with your backside out. I can't stand those photos. Why? Do you like them?
Do you like it? Some things are inappropriate. But don't look at it. You don't have to look at it.
You can't help it, man. When you're scrolling on social media, mm-hmm. somebody, every time you scroll, somebody's got their butt out. Somebody looking behind their shoulder.
Well, get off social media.
Poking their butt out.
If social media is laced with those images, stay off of it.
I think it's the algorithm that I've been on.
No, yeah. It attracts you. You're such a slime ball.
So, Sean, we got a lot of comments. People were calling in when I was telling you about my son was thinking about getting married in his early 20s.
Yeah, let's hear him.
I got married to my lovely wife at the age of 21 while I was in the military. Some men and women can be very mature at that age. I've been married 40 years. When I got married at 21, I wish I had gotten married even earlier.
So what's your response to him?
That's a beautiful thing, but... I think it's rare.
Yeah, it is rare now.
You know, because BJ, I'm going to be honest, and all jokes aside, if I had to, I know people always say I'm picking on you, BJ, and I'm not. I'm just, you know, this is my point of reference. If I had to be married to you from 21 until like 60, I would just say life is over. I would just feel like life was over, all jokes aside, and you probably feel that way about me.
If I would have had the chance to marry you at 21, I would have jumped off a cliff, so that would have never happened.
That's my point. So now you understand where I'm coming from.
Are you for mandatory DNA testing at birth?
I am absolutely on record as saying that if we want to prevent the problem of having men challenge paternity later down the road, is then let's apply a proactive solution. Automatic DNA testing at birth would work to help two things. One, we would assure that the right parents were named on the birth certificate. Two, it would stop paternity fraud.
So you want DNA testing to be a part of your delivery kit?
And you know, and you need it. You know, Maury Povich taught us that.
What would Maury do?
Hey, look, if you out here living this lifestyle and think of how embarrassing that is, that you don't know who the father of your child is because of the lifestyle that you lead.
That happens. That's a possibility. But the other possibility could be that maybe the woman is picking the best choice. If I got to pick between Denzel Washington and Ned DeWino, Denzel going to get it.
So that means that you sleeping with Ned DeWino and a person like a high value man like Denzel Washington. What's wrong with
I'm just giving a comparison.
Look, this is a woman issue. Women pick the wrong men to sleep with. And if you're telling me when we get to the hospital and you have the baby and we don't know who the father is, that's a problem.
And you're piggybacking off of what I just said. Maybe the woman picks the best choice. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that is right, and I can get his point, perhaps, you know?
We're coming from different angles. You sleeping with so many people that you don't know who the father is? You don't think that's a problem?
What if it's two people? Is that so many people?
How about just making the best choice in a long committed relationship? I'm sick of this stuff of us justifying all this ghetto mess that's happening in our community.
First of all, stop saying ghetto.
It is.
When you say ghetto, you're talking about black people.
I'm talking about us. Yeah, we are doing that.
Don't talk about us because it don't just happen to us.
Sean, I'm talking about what's going on with us. I don't care what's going on in other communities. I'm talking about us and our children.
Don't act like that this is just a slight against us, BJ. I'm saying that I understand what you're saying, that you know you're sleeping because you know you're the moral police because you do everything right. You and Obama.
No, I don't.
Okay, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But
somebody got to lift up the standard. Y'all just throw it on the ground. I'm trying to hold the standard up. I'm trying to keep the flag from dragging on the ground.
BJ, okay. I mean, I can see your point of view. I can see that gentleman's point of view. But sometimes if I got to pick between you and Ned DeWino, Ned DeWino going to get it. It's his baby. It ain't going to be yours.
What about that old black car you was driving a couple of years ago? It's still in.
It wasn't old when I was driving.
Man, that car was old. I used to feel sorry for you when you drove up.
It was a 2000 and something Maxima.
I'd be like, hey, you want me to follow you home?
BJ, now wait a minute. BJ, I remember. Follow me home. BJ, I remember that car you was driving and your window wouldn't go up. You had those windows stuck in a crease. BJ, do you remember when you had those? Now we're just joking.
Right.
In order for BJ window to stay up in on his passenger side, he had chopsticks and rulers stuck down in there. BJ, yes. You remember that?
I remember that. Hey, Sean, I drove that car to Chicago. It's a 97 Honda, and it was snowing, and my family, they rode to Chicago with me for an event, and that 97 Honda, and it was snowing when we got ready to come back to North Carolina, and that the back window wouldn't come up.
I mean, how do you get a sunroof on the side of your car?
Hey, I want to hear what you got to say. Join the conversation, 888-370-9390, 888-370-9390.